Hello everyone, welcome to Sauna IE. I'm your host XO. It's Monday, Mental Health Mondays, Money Making Mondays. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. This is your first time listening. Thank you for taking the time out your day to tune into my podcast, tune into the podcast. This is our podcast. And with Sauna IE, we're all about personal development, developing our mental health and developing our financial health and financial literacy. So each episode on Mondays, I usually drop mental health episodes dealing with mental health. And on Fridays, we do Financial Fridays. So today being June 28th, Monday, we're going to get into some mental health topics and mental health segments. And the first segment that I have up is low self-awareness and how to spot it out. Self-awareness is very, very key when it talks about knowing yourself. And there's a book that I'll recommend when it comes to self-awareness and it comes to emotional health and being aware of yourself and your emotions and everybody around you. I'll recommend that book during that segment. But another segment I have up for us is energy drainers, things that drain our energy mentally, physically, spiritually, and get into that and diving into that with that segment. And then last one, we're going to talk about the book. Shout out to the people that's been reading the book, that got the book. The book Atomic Habits. Shout out to Willie and shout out to Sam and a few more I gotta check out, but a lot of people have really been tuning in and really liking the book. Shout out to Atomic Habits. We're gonna go over the review that today. We're gonna review chapters 6-10 in the last segment, but let's get started with the beginning of this show. Monday, Mental Health Mondays. How are you doing mentally? How has this month been? June is over, headed to July, man. How have you been doing with yourself mentally? Have you been working on your mental health? Have you been working on your financial literacy? Or what's been going on? Have you been having a rough month, a long month? Has it been a bad month for you? Let me know. Tap in, hit me up on sanai.com and let me know what you've been dealing with or going through or how the month has been for you. Or if you've been dealing with anything mentally, always tap in and really talk and vent and open up to people, open up to me, open up to your peers, open up to your family if you're dealing with anything mentally, and being aware that, yo, everybody loves you and everybody's here to help you. You're not alone in anything that you're going through. But with that being said, let's get started with the quotes of the day. My first quote is, fear is the brain's way of saying that there is something important for you to overcome. Fear is the brain's way of saying that there is something important for you to overcome. What have you been fearing lately? Have you been fearing doing a task? Have you been fearing having a conversation with somebody? What have you been fearing lately that it's been really consuming you, that you have damn near nightmares about it, that it's constantly on your mind, on your brain, that you're like really constantly fearing something? But it's like I said, it's your brain's way of saying that there is something important for you to overcome. And fear is just a life experience. Anything that you're fearing right now, you can overcome. All you have to do is face the fear. What are you fearing? Face it. You're meant to overcome this fear, and it's really consumed you, and it's been dwelling with you, and it's been with you for so long that you have to overcome it, that that's the only way to get rid of that fear. You being afraid of anything and not facing it is only going to make it bigger and bigger and bigger, and you're going to be looking like, damn, be sunken, get into that sunken place of fear. So let go of that fear. Fear is the brain's way of saying that there is something important for you to overcome. And the next quote is, real growth is when you start checking and correcting yourself. Real growth is when you start checking and correcting yourself. Holding yourself accountable, checking yourself when you're fucking up, checking yourself when you're out of line, checking yourself when you're out of character. That's real growth. Knowing where you at and checking yourself. It's self-explanatory. You got to check yourself. You know, the song, check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's what it basically means. If you don't check in on yourself or check yourself, you're going to end up wrecking yourself by not growing. By doing the same habits, doing the same things, having the same behavior. Check yourself and correct yourself instead of not checking yourself, and you're going to end up wrecking yourself. So real growth is when you start checking and correcting yourself. We all have bad habits. We all have a bad behavior or in some way, some form. And we know it's bad, but we don't check ourselves. So check yourself before you wreck yourself. I'll be right back with Sona I.E. So the first segment we have up for discussion is low self-awareness. And low self-awareness can equal to repeating the same patterns. That's what we talked about with the quote of the day. Repeating the same patterns. The quote was, real growth is when you start checking and correcting yourself. Repeating the same patterns is where you start checking yourself like, yo, have I been growing or have I been really going straight down on a straight path? Or have I been growing growing into who I am meant to be? Am I growing on a daily basis or am I repeating the same patterns? Number two for low self-awareness would be getting defensive when receiving feedback. Have you been receiving feedback and your first response is defensive? You can't be like that if you want to grow in life. You can't be on the defensive every time somebody's trying to give you feedback about life. People experience life differently. Everybody's here for you to learn from. So if somebody's trying to give you feedback about something that they see, receive that feedback and don't be defensive about it, that you like, nah, you're not right, or nah, it's not like that. No, take that feedback, analyze it, and see how that feedback can help you out, how it can help you grow, and how you can be more self-aware from that feedback that you just received. Number three is regretting decisions we've made. Regretting the decisions that we made. We've all made regretful decisions. Accept that. It's life. You're gonna make probably a decision that you regret later this week or later today. But that's life. You can't regret the decisions you made. They're decisions. They're meant to be made in that moment. Sometimes you won't have the information that you need to make the right decision in that moment. But later down the line, you'll have the right information, the lesson that you learned from making that wrong decision. So you can't regret anything in life. You can't regret any decision that you made. You just have to accept that decision and be like firm with it. Like, yo, this is a decision that I'm making and I'm going to stand by it. Number four, struggling to identify what we need. What do you need? It's not what you want. What do you need? What do you need in life? What do you need for yourself? What does your future self need from your present self? How can you help your future self out today? What do you need to identify? Stop struggling to identify what you need. It comes down to wants and needs in life. Things that you need, necessities versus things that you want. What do you need for yourself to grow? Number five, difficulty expressing feelings. Keeping those feelings vague. We all have feelings. We have feelings and emotions for a reason. And we can't keep those feelings in. We can't hold them in to ourselves. We all have feelings from everybody, from the dogs, the pets, the humans. Everybody has feelings. So it's at the end of the day, if you have difficulty expressing your feelings, look in the mirror every morning and express them to yourself. Express how you feel or start journaling how you feel. Journaling your feelings, and that'll start helping you out to where you can start venting to other people, venting to family, venting to friends, venting to people who hurt your feelings. So you know, like, yo, this is how I express my feelings, and it helps you out. It helps you with your growth. It helps you with your self-awareness because you have more awareness of how to express yourself and what you're feeling. Number six, trouble understanding why we act the way we do. That's the low self-awareness. Trouble understanding why we act the way we do. And that's something you have to really have in your alone time and sit with yourself and ask yourself, and why do I act this way? Why did I have this certain reaction in this moment when this person did this? And really sit with yourself, dwell with yourself, and even journal that out. Write that out and figure out why you act in a certain way. Number seven, being prone to emotional outbursts. Have you ever had an emotional outburst recently? Are you prone to emotional outbursts because you don't have control over your emotions? You can be honest with yourself. Do you have control of your emotions? It's a tough task to do. Control your emotions. It's a day by day thing to control them and not let people get under your skin. And it's just a day by day. You got to take it step by step, collect them small wins of really controlling and being in that moment. Sometimes when it comes to your emotion, when you want to have an emotional outburst, I say the best thing to do is to really stop, pause, and take some deep breaths. If you have an Apple Watch, they have the breathing app on there. Very, very beneficial. Use that breathing app. Take some time and do some deep breathing before you have that emotional outburst. You'll collect yourself, you'll collect your thoughts, and you'll be like, nah, this is not needed at this time. So take some steps to where you're controlling your emotions over time. Number 8, difficulty admitting mistakes. We all make mistakes. We all fuck up. Hey, I'm probably going to mess up on this episode. Either way, I'm going to still put it out for y'all. But either way, we all make mistakes. You shouldn't have no difficult time expressing or saying, I fucked up. I messed up. How can I get better? Make mistakes help us grow. We all make mistakes, and that's how we improve in life. You're not going to be always get it right. You won't always get it right. But the thing is, you're trying to get better. Number 9, frequently experiencing tension in friendships and relationships. Frequently experiencing tension and in friendships and relationships. Once again, this segment right here is low self-awareness. Have you been experiencing tension in your friendships or relationships? Take a second to think about it. Any relationship that you have where it's from your family members to your peers to your coworkers, like I said, friendships to significant others, is there tension there? Have you been frequently experiencing that? And that right there is something that goes back and falls back on you, being self-aware of how you feel, what you're feeling, what you're feeling in this moment. And that tension that's in that relationship, it may be that other person or it may be you, but it goes back to, once again, the quote, checking yourself, seeing how you feel, see how you feel mentally, physically, spiritually, seeing if you need that alone time, seeing if you need that break, seeing if you need that time away for yourself, and really focusing on how to improve your self-awareness. And that's the last one. Number 9, frequently experiencing tension in friendship and relationships. If you want to grow or change, you must become self-aware. We need to be aware of a need, a feeling, a habit, a pattern in order to address it. If you're struggling with self-awareness, it can be a result of different things like trauma, society, family dynamics, and daily life. But it's something we all can work on. And the book I highly recommend when it comes to getting aware and being more aware of your self-awareness, I might read this book again because I totally forgot what the gems that it dropped, but is Emotional Intelligence 2.0. And that talks about your emotional intelligence, getting control of your emotions and being aware of your emotions when it comes to the workplace, when it comes to family, when it comes to friends, when it comes to the significant other. It lets you know how to really be in control of your emotions and being more aware of your self-awareness, being aware of others around you, and just being aware of emotions. But once again, that book is Emotional Intelligence 2.0. I'll be right back, and we're gonna jump into the next segment, which is energy drainers. Now we up to the next segment, which is energy drainers. Energy drainers. If you aren't aware of your energy, how your energy is around certain people, around certain times, if your energy is up during the day, if your energy is down at night, or is down in the middle of the day, how is your energy during different times of the day, around different people, in different environments? Be aware of your energy and what you feel, how you feel around people, and the environments that you're in. Your energy detects it all. The inner you knows what the outside has, the outside forces have. So energy drainers. Number 1, trying to be perfect all the time. We're not perfect. Nobody's perfect at the end of the day. We all can't be perfect. Even though we all want to be perfect, everything won't be perfect. So trying to be perfect all the time is mistake. It's a big mistake trying to be perfect. Because I know personally too, because I like perfection, and sometimes I'm a perfectionist when it comes to certain things. But as a perfectionist, you know that everything won't be perfect. Some things will be perfect and some things won't be perfect. But trying to be perfect 100% of the time is an energy drainer. It drains your energy, it drains your mind, it drains you physically, to where you're always trying to be perfect, trying to perfect every little thing all the time, that you don't have the energy for to do other things. So trying to be perfect, that's number one on energy drainers. Number two, trying to control every situation. Trying to control every situation. Is that you? Are you listening right now? You're like, man, I like to control every situation because I not like to know how all the pieces are moving. But being an energy controller or controlling situations drains your energy, because you're trying to hold every piece and trying to have all the pieces in your hand instead of just letting everything flow. Go with the flow instead of trying to control the situation. Every situation is not meant for you to control. It's too much energy being drained trying to control everything. You just sit back and let things flow. Just go with the flow sometimes. You don't have to control it all. Number three, comparing ourselves to others. Comparison. Comparison, comparison, comparison. I say this all the time. Comparison is the thief of joy. So comparing ourselves to others when it comes to the biggest thing is like when we see on Instagram where we at and where everybody else is in life. It's like we want to be in their shoes, but it's like we're all playing different games in life. It's like Monopoly. Life is like Monopoly. We're all different pieces on the board. And it just comes down to really knowing, like, yo, I can't compare myself to where they are. They can't compare themselves to where I am, because at the end of the day, we're all moving differently and operating differently. So comparing yourself to where somebody else is like, it's bad. It'll suck up your joy, suck up your energy, and it'll suck up your time. So if you're right now, you've been comparing yourself, trying to get to where somebody else is in life, no. Focus on where you want to be, who you want, the identity you want to portray, instead of comparing yourself to somebody else. We all should be comparing ourselves to me, to you. Who you was yesterday, the old you versus the new you, that's the constant comparison. Who you was a year ago to who you was today, that's all who you should be comparing yourself to on a daily basis. Number four, seeking constant external approval. Seeking constant external approval. Always wanting that acceptance from other people, from others, from peers, from people we look up to. Just always wanting that acceptance from other people. Why not accept ourselves? Why do we always have to want the approval from other people? What does that prove to us? We should approve of ourselves and love ourselves for everything that we are doing as we're taking the journey in this life. Taking everything one by one, one day at a time. We shouldn't be seeking constant external approval. Number five, overcommitting. Overcommitting. And this comes to any facet of life, anything in life, overcommitting. Learn when you need to overcommit and learn when you just need to commit enough. You don't always have to overcommit yourself when it comes to every task or everything in life, every situation, every experience. Don't overcommit. Analyze and see how much commitment you should have. Number six, trying to be someone else. Trying to be someone else. That's self-explanatory. Number seven, holding on to our mistakes. Holding on to our mistakes. We just discussed that in the first segment with low self-awareness, which was difficulty admitting our mistakes. And this one's saying holding on to our mistakes. Mistakes happen. As you see in both, one, holding on to our mistakes is an energy drainer, and difficulty admitting mistakes is a low self-awareness tactic. So it's like mistakes happen. We just got to let the mistakes go and be grateful that mistakes happen, because they're there for us to learn. They're a lesson to be learned. Number eight, not being honest with ourselves. Be honest with yourself about everything. Hold yourself accountable and always have that conversation with yourself. Check in with yourself. Ask yourself those hard questions periodically. Every week, do that check-in with yourself. Do a midweek check-in. See how you are mentally. See how you are physically. And really checking in on yourself. Life gets hectic. Life gets busy. But health is the truest wealth. So take care of yourself. Take care of your mind. Take care of your body. And really check in on yourself. Number 9, making excuses for others. Big energy drainer. Making excuses for others. Are you that type that's always making excuses for other people because you want to see the good in that person? That's draining your energy. That's draining your order. That's draining you. Don't make excuses for people. People are going to be who they are at the end of the day. See the writing on the wall. Number 10, suppressing our needs. Suppressing our needs. Whatever you need in life, you shouldn't put in the backseat or in the backseat towards anybody else's needs or wants. It always should be about what you need, what you want. Sometimes you have to be selfish in life to get where you want to be. So stop, don't suppress your needs. Number 11, and the last one of energy drainers, being judgmental and critical of ourselves. Being judgmental and critical of ourselves. Man. And like I said, I'm like a perfectionist in some ways. And you always just want to be hard on yourself when you want to be perfect. When you want everything to be perfect. When you want things to go a certain way. You judge yourself. And you're very critical of yourself. Instead of breathing in like, yo, I did the best I could right now. But next time I'm going to go harder. Instead of trying to judge yourself or criticize yourself every time you fuck up or every time you make a mistake or every time you fail. You can't be judgmental or critical. You got to know it's a step and it's a part of life. You can't put yourself down. You got to lift yourself up. And I'm going to be right back with our next segment of, man, this is a good ass episode. I'm just thinking about like these energy drainers as well as the low self-awareness and really just thinking to myself as I'm going over the topics or going over these different ones. And I'm just thinking like I'm still working on some of these when it comes to low self-awareness as well as energy drainers. What about you guys? Do you have low self-awareness in some areas of your life? What about what has been draining your energy off this list? Let me know. Sanai.com. I will greatly appreciate it and I'll be right back. So the next segment up for discussion with on Sanai is Atomic Habits, the book. Shout out to Sarah, shout out to Will, the people that's been picking up the books that's really constantly reading it and really taking that notice on that book. That book is very incredible. And with this segment, we're going to talk about really chapters 6 through 10, run through the summaries that they summarized up. And chapter 6 really talks about motivation is overrated. Environment often matters more. And that's facts. Just with the title and meaning, motivation is overrated and environment often matters more. It comes down to the environment you're in. When it comes to any habit that you're trying to change, if you're trying to change a certain habit and the environment you're in is constantly has temptations, constantly has bad energy and constantly has no growth in it, it's like, how are you going to grow? How are you going to stay motivated? How are you going to change your habits if the environment around you isn't helping you change? But some of the key details in this chapter talks about small changes in context can lead to larger changes in behavior over time. So small changes, getting that 1% better every day, daily, it stacks up and builds up that compound, the compound interest within yourself. And over time, your behavior will change in large changes, but it takes time and it takes discipline and it takes constant effort day after day to really continue trying to change and be better than who you were yesterday. Then it jumps to saying every habit is initiated by a cue. You are more likely to notice cues that stand out. Make the cues of good habits obvious in your environment. Cues. every habit is initiated by a cue, you are more likely to notice cues that stand out. So cues that stand out when it comes to good habits, make the cues of good habits obvious in your environment, whatever environment you're in. Have good energy around you, have good cues around you till you know where where the good habits are coming from. Give yourself something to make that good habit worth it. Then it continues to the next point, where gradually your habits become associated not only with a single trigger, but the entire context surrounding the behavior. Context becomes the cue. It's easier to build a new habit, new habits in a new environment, because you're not fighting old cues. It's easier to build new habits in a new environment. So if you've been trying to change your habits lately and you've been in the same environment, that's why you're not getting no change, because it's hard to change when you have the same cues around you, same triggers around you, same things around you, that there's no change, no growth for you to change. Then we jump into chapter 7, which is the secret of self-control. And the first point it discusses is make it invisible. Once a habit is formed, it's unlikely to be forgotten. And we all know that when we create habits, that constant habit, that constant routine just sticks with us throughout days, throughout months, throughout years, where we're constantly doing the same thing that it comes repetitive and we don't even think about it at all. It's just a habit. Then it jumps to people with high self-control tend to spend less time in tempting situations. People with high self-control tend to spend less time in tempting situations. It's easier to avoid temptation than to resist it. Especially when it comes to your habits. The biggest habit I know when it comes to, I just want to relate, the habit of losing weight. It's easier to avoid temptation than resist it. Easier to avoid the snacks, the bad food, the unhealthy food, than to resist it. So it's easier to just keep it out of your sight, keep it out of your vision, keep it out of your mind. So you know how they say out of sight, out of mind. That's what it really comes down to. It's easier to avoid temptation than to resist it. So if you don't see it, then you can avoid it versus trying to resist it when it's right in front of your face. One of the most practical ways to reduce the exposure to a bad habit is to reduce the cue that causes it. What bad habit do you have, and what triggers that bad habit? Now I want to jump back to the point where it says people with high self-control tend to spend less time in tempting situations. And that goes back to anything. If you're trying to become a new person, a new level up, control your habits and control yourself, having high self-control, you'll spend time in less tempting situations and non-tempting situations. You avoid those situations because you know you have high self-control and you don't need to be in that situation where you can be triggered. So be aware of that. The next point talks about self-control is a short-term strategy, not a long-term one. And it is. Self-control is a day-by-day thing. It's a daily thing. Over the long term, it'll become more than self-control. It'll be a behavior that you do. It'll be a lifestyle, like that you have high self-control over yourself, that you're not tempting, you avoid tempting situations, and all that. Then it jumps into the next chapter, chapter 8, which is how to make a habit irresistible. Number one, make it attractive. What habit are you trying to change, or you trying to do? How can you make that habit attractive where you're trying to do it on a consistent daily basis? The more attractive an opportunity is, the more likely it is to become a habit forming. Habits are dopamine habit feedback loops. When dopamine rises, so does our motivation to act. It's the anticipation of the reward, not the fulfillment of it. It's the anticipation of the reward, not the fulfillment of it. That gives us the motivation to act, because you're anticipating the reward. You're not realizing the whole fulfillment of it. The greater the anticipation, the greater the dopamine spike. The greater the anticipation, the greater the dopamine spike. Temptation bundling is one way to make your habits more attractive. The strategy is to pair an action you want to do with an action you need to do. So, what is an action that you need to do, or that you want to do, and an action that you need to do, and put those together, combine them? That's temptation bundling, and where you're having those two actions together and you're building yourself up. Then we jumped into chapter 9, the role of family and friends in shaping your habits. I believe family and friends, like I said, they play a big role when it comes to your habits, when it comes to you. And it starts with the family. It starts with your family, how from growing up, let's say you was a toddler or in the early stages of your life, and then growing up, your family shapes you throughout life. And then once you reach, I say, middle school, high school, your friends start shaping your habits and who you become, who you want to be within those years. And they play a big role in your life. It kicks off with the culture we live in determines which behaviors are attractive to us. We tend to adapt habits that are praised and approved of by our culture because we have a strong desire to fit in and belong. The third point that it makes is we tend to imitate the habits of three social groups: the close, which are family and friends; the many, which is the tribe; and the powerful, those of with status and prestige. One of the most effective strategies you can do is joining a culture where your desired behavior is the normal behavior, and you already have something in common with the group. And with that right there, one of the most effective strategies you can do is by joining a culture where your desired behaviors are already a normal behavior. That's like joining a class, joining a cycling class, joining a yoga class, joining something where the group is already have that focus, have that discipline, have that consistent habits where you can easily catch up and pick on as the days go on, as the time goes on, that you're already in that group, that it starts shaping and changing your behavior. So sometimes you got to look out and reach out and figure out, who am I trying to be and what culture do I have to join so I can change the behavior I have now, change my habits now, so I can start creating good habits, great habits. And to the bullet point before, it says we tend to imitate the habits of three social groups: the close, which are our family and friends. We imitate our family and friends somehow, some way. And the many, which is the tribe, which is the group around us, the people around us, not necessarily our family and friends, but the people within the culture, within our culture. And then it goes up to the powerful, which is the status of the prestige, those with status and prestige, which is like the celebrities. So we imitate those three social groups. You can take a step back now, or you can think back now. You're like, damn, do I imitate these three social groups? And you're probably like, damn, I do. I do imitate my mom and pop. I do imitate my culture, how my culture is, how my culture shaped me. And then you're like, the powerful. Yeah, I do act like so-and-so, or I do look up to so-and-so, because that's who I want to be like, or that's who I aspire to be. So let me know. Let me know who is, if you imitate these three social groups. Hit me up on sanai.com. I greatly appreciate it. And I want to know. But we're going to keep going on with the bullet points. Next up, it says, most days we'd rather be wrong with the crowd than right by ourselves. Most days we'd rather be wrong with the crowd than right by ourselves. Are you a lion or a sheep? That's what that bullet point really says. It states, are you a lion or a sheep? The next bullet point says, if a behavior can get us approval, respect, and praise, we find it attractive. If a behavior can get us approval, respect, and praise, we'll find it attractive. And then we jump into the last chapter, which is how to find and fix the causes of your bad habits. It kicks off with, every behavior has a surface level craving and a deeper underlying motive. Every behavior has a surface level craving and a deeper underlying motive. Always be aware of that. Number 2, your habits are modern day solutions to ancient desires. skincare habits are modern-day solutions to ancient desires, which means what you're doing right now was the desires of your culture before you, the family before you, the decades before you were born. The modern-day solution that you have, the habits that you have, were formed over time through your culture, through your people, through your family. Third bullet point is the cause of your habits is actually the prediction that precedes them. This prediction leads to a feeling. The cause of your habits is actually the prediction that precedes them. This prediction leads to a feeling. So the cause of whatever you're doing in a habit, whatever you're predicting, you're like the last one said, we're anticipating the reward. That's where the reward is, where we're like, oh, I want to do this habit because the reward I'll receive from it instead of the fulfillment that I'll receive from it. Next bullet point is highlight the benefits of avoiding a bad habit to make it seem unattractive. Habits are attractive when we associate them with feelings and unattractive when we associate them with negative feelings. And the last bullet point and the last note for the segment is create a motivation ritual by doing something you enjoy immediately before a difficult habit. And mine is, personally, create a motivation ritual. I used to have a hard time meditating. But now I meditate right after my workout, or I meditate as soon as I get in the sauna and really have that so I can be disciplined on that and get my meditation on. That's a ritual I created after a difficult habit. Because I know first starting off, getting in the gym, going to the gym was difficult at first. And meditating is like my escape from that, from the workout. It gets me to visualize and focus on my day and really be thankful and grateful for the workout I just had. But what is a motivational ritual that you can do immediately after a difficult habit? Let me know. SanaE.com. I'm going to give y'all a brief break and I'm going to hit y'all with the recap. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate everybody that takes the time and listen to the episode that's been constantly here since day one. Without y'all, none of this is possible. And with that being said, I got something for y'all. Bear with me. And we back with the recap. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in for today's episode of SanaE. Hope this episode helped you out mentally as well as physically, too, and really getting aware, getting yourself aware, having that self-awareness of yourself, as well as being aware of what's been draining your energy, the energy drainers in your life, like trying to be perfect all the time, trying to control every situation. Comparing ourselves to others, seeking constant external approval, overcommitting, trying to be someone else, holding to our mistakes, not being honest with ourselves, making excuses for others, suppressing our needs, being judgmental and critical of ourselves. Have you been doing these things and it's been draining your energy? Let me know. Let's talk about it. SanaE.com. But I know I kind of jumped into that segment, but we're going to reverse back and hit you with the quotes of the day. And the first quote was, fear is the brain's way of saying that there is something important for you to overcome. Fear is the brain's way of saying that there is something for you to overcome. Whatever you're fearing right now, you can overcome it. Don't fear anything. And even if you do fear something, just know you can overcome it. It's just an obstacle in your life that you have to overcome. It's a lesson you have to learn. So once you put fear and embrace fear, be like, yo, I'm not going to fear this because I know at the end of the day, this is just a stepping stone in my life on my journey that I have to get past. So I have to suck up, muster up the energy, muster up the courage and be brave and just face the fear. And the second quote was, real growth is when you start checking and correcting yourself. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. And that's seriously. You gotta start checking yourself and correcting yourself. If you know you have bad habits and you consistently do those bad habits, hello, check yourself. Stop the bad habits. Work on being a better person. Work on being better tomorrow versus being better next week. Focus on tomorrow. Focus on the next day. Focus on being better today. Get that 1% better every day. Consistently change your habits. Checking yourself. Growing. It's all about growing and not being stuck or stuck in the one place. Because life will get you like that. Life will box you in to where life will all hit you at once. And all the plans and dreams you had will go out the window where you have to really just, oh, shoot. This life happened and you just settle. So don't settle. Continue growing day by day. Always grow. Write out your goals. Write out what you want. Write out where you want to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Write out what you want to manifest. Write out what you want to attract in your life. Write out ways to grow. Start journaling how you feel. Meditate. Visualize. Do the things to grow. And do the things your future self will thank you for. Real talk. And then we jump to our segments. First segment is low self-awareness and some things to be on the lookout for. Like number one, repeating the same patterns. Number two, getting defensive when receiving feedback. Number three, regretting decisions we made. Number four, struggling to identify what we need. Number five, difficulty expressing our feelings, keeping them vague. Number six, trouble understanding why we act the way we do. Number seven, being prone to emotional outbursts. Number eight, difficulty admitting mistakes. Number nine, frequently experiencing tension in friendships and relationships. Have you been this way? Are you aware of yourself, of your feelings, of your emotions, or not? It happens to the most of us. It happens to the best of us. Life, we're growing. The sooner we can be honest with ourselves, the sooner we can help ourselves grow. If you like, yeah, I have low self-awareness. That's good. You admitted it. You accepted that. Now it's like, how can I change that? What can I do to bring up my self-awareness? Number one, I recommend reading Emotional Intelligence 2.0. Getting aware that'll put everything into perspective about your awareness, self-control, about the awareness of people's other people's emotions and feelings and everything, and that just put it in perspective of what you should feel, how you should feel, and just what you should be aware of. If you want to change or grow, you must become self-aware. We need to be aware of a need, a feeling, a habit, a pattern in order to address it. If you're struggling with self-awareness, it can be a result of different things like trauma, the society that you're in, family dynamics, and even daily life. So, self-awareness, we all struggle with it. But it's a constant battle where day by day we build it up. That 1%, that compound effect where you're building up your self-awareness. And sooner or later, you'll be so self-aware that nothing can break that. And then we jump into one of my favorite books. Shout out to Sarah and Will. And other people that's been reading the book as well as that took the time to purchase it. I really appreciate y'all and really checking out. Hope this book helps y'all out and really helps y'all with y'all habits. But we discussed chapters 6 through 10. Chapter 6 was motivation is overrated. Environment often matters more. And the biggest point I got is that in that chapter was, it's easier to build a new habit in a new environment because you're not fighting old cues. So maybe if you're trying to change your habit, it's time to get in a new environment. Trying to get around new things, new energy, kind of really change your environment and start building that new habit in that new environment. Instead of being in an old environment, building a new habit, it doesn't work like that. You'll go back and your system will be broken. It's all about creating that system for yourself to build up that new habit instead of having that goal to have a new habit. What system can you create to constantly have that new habit form day by day, cycling up? Then we jump to chapter 7, The Secret of Self-Control. And the one that really stuck with me in this one is, it's easier to avoid temptation than to resist it. And that's really, really self-explanatory. It's like, we put ourselves in temptation situations instead of avoiding them. It's hard to resist some temptations when we don't have that self-control. We don't have that discipline when we get into the temptation, we fuck it, we give in instead of no fighting it or resisting it. And it's hard to resist when the temptation is literally sitting in front of your face. Then chapter 8 talks about, or chapter 8 was how to make it how to make a habit irresistible. And the thing that really stuck with me right here is, there's a few, honestly. It's going to be two. I'm going to read off two. The first one is, the more attractive an opportunity is, the more likely it is to become habit forming. So something, when a habit becomes attractive, the more attractive an opportunity is, it's more become habit forming. I keep relating going back to the gym, because that's the biggest thing right now when it comes to health and just everybody being on the health and going to the gym and staying in the gym. But, or working out sometimes away, getting that an hour a day, just working out your body somehow. But the more attractive an opportunity is, the more you start working out consistently, start seeing the changes, it's more likely that you start forming the habits of going to the gym. You used to go from going to the gym to now you purchasing gym clothes. Now you purchasing protein. Now you purchasing creatine. Now you purchasing supplements. Now you purchasing gym clothes for the gym. So you're doing the little things that form the habit, and the habit is slowly forming. And when you look back, you're like, damn. At first, I was so against the gym. Now I got all this stuff, and you're really being consistent. You change that behavior, and now it's become a lifestyle. Another one that stuck with me is the greater the anticipation, the greater the dopamine spike. And that's true, because whatever the motivation is in us, that dopamine kick, that dopamine spike, we all love. Then we jumped into, I believe this is chapter 9, the role of family and friends in shaping your habits. And the one that stuck with me in this one is this one right here. We tend to imitate the habits of our three social groups: the close, which is family and friends; the many, which is the tribe or our culture; and the powerful, which is those with status and prestige. And that's true, because, I mean, I explained it before, but let me know, have you thought about it, like, damn, I do fit in within these social groups, I do let them shape my habits, I do let them shape my environment. Check on yourself, let me know. And then another one, too, is most days we'd rather be wrong with the crowd than right by ourselves. You ain't always got to follow the herd, you don't always have to be a sheep, you can always be different, you can always be the lion. And take the lion's share. Stand by yourself. Be by yourself. If you have that gut feeling that you're right, then trust that gut feeling. Then we finished off with how to find and fix the causes of your bad habit. Damn. Let me see. Which one stuck with me right here? The last point that it says, create a motivation ritual by doing something you enjoy immediately before a difficult habit. Like I said, with me, it's the meditating after the gym, before the sauna, in the sauna. That's the motivation ritual that I do. Because at first, like I said, meditating was difficult. At first, I would skip it. But now I'm like, meditating I love, especially I said, like, it just brings that peace. It brings me peace. It gives you peace when you're meditating, and it just helps you out. It balances you out, balance out your aura, balance out your inner you. But I appreciate y'all tuning in. Check out the website, sanai.com. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/sanai. Follow us on all social media at sanai, as well as leave reviews, comments, feedback, constructive criticism. Leave it all there. I greatly appreciate it. And I'm going to leave y'all with this. Your largest fear carries your greatest growth. Your largest fear carries your greatest growth. Have a good week.